Well, welcome everyone. Good morning. Welcome to our Zoom meeting. Welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream on YouTube. It's good that we can come together and seek God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to worship him through the Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of his Spirit. Obviously, sadly, at the moment, we can't meet in person at church again for this month, but we're thankful to God for the technology we have and the abilities that people have got to enable to connect us up like this. We're going to be sharing together and remembering Christ's death on the cross for us in a little while. We'll be doing that in the first part of our service, so if you're not prepared for that with some bread and a cup, then during our first hymn, perhaps you just want to go and prepare for that. Also, 11 o'clock, we'll be just pausing for a couple of minutes of silence to remember those who have given their lives in war. So let's begin by coming to God in prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Our Father God, we come to you this morning as people of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to draw near to your throne, the throne of heaven, where you sit in glory, surrounded by the angels who are worshipping you, where those who are your people who've gone before us into your presence bow down and worship you. Father, we know that your throne is an exalted throne, a throne of righteousness and justice, a throne of power and of judgment. You are the God who will bring into judgment the world and all those who have continued lives of rebellion and opposition to you, going their own way. But we thank you for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, that your throne is a throne of grace and mercy because of the blood of Jesus shed for us, blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, that speaks and cries out for justice and judgment. We thank you that today we can draw near to your throne and know our need of your grace, how we need your grace in our lives, even at this moment, to come and worship and to praise you as we should. And we thank you that you are ready and willing to freely give us of your grace as we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will sustain us and help us in our lives day by day by the power of your grace. And how much we need your mercy moment by moment, day by day. Your mercy is to provide us with the things that we need day by day in our lives for living, but also your mercy in the forgiveness of our sins. Father, so often we do still live our lives going our own way when we claim to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hearts do not always love you as we should all of the time. And so we pray for that forgiveness and that mercy to be poured out upon us and for the cleansing of us from all unrighteousness. Father, we pray that you would fill our hearts this morning with that greater sense of love for you because of who you are and because of what you have done for us, and help us as we remember what Christ has done in taking part in the communion meal in a little while. And we pray that you would be filling us with your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you and live our lives to your glory and to your honor day by day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our opening hymn today, which you can sing along to and join in with, is going to be a great reminder of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Blood?" So Phil will put that up for us and we'll sing.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just going to speak briefly to the children as we continue. So maybe those who are here, I can see Peter. And Kakenga. And we've got Rowan. And somewhere Lila, Sean's around. Okay, so I've got a question for you. You might need to unmute yourself if you want to answer me. I may not be able to hear you very well, but I'm sure other people will hear. I wonder, how good is your memory? How good is your memory? Lila. Can you remember when your birthday is? What date is your birthday?
25th of September.
Right, Peter?
2nd of March.
Oh, 2nd of March, right. Kakenga, can you remember when your birthday is?
Yeah, 23rd of September.
Oh, September 1 as well. Everyone?
Close to mine.
Right. Okay, here's another question. Can you remember when your mum's birthday is?
17th of November.
You can't just tell me. She cheated.
That's a bit harder, isn't it?
No, not really.
Some of you, it's easy.
4th of May.
September.
39. It can't be the 39th.
Are easier to remember than others, aren't they? Sometimes we need something to help us to remember, to be reminded of things. Sometimes that can be someone just telling us and reminding us, but sometimes it's good to have things that help us to remember. Today we're remembering two important things. Let me just show you a picture and it'll help you to perhaps remind you of what we're remembering. So have a look at this picture and see whether you can tell me what it is we're remembering today.
The war. Poppies.
Good.
No, the war.
So
I said the war.
Yeah, we're remembering.
What's it called?
Let me take that off. One of the things we're remembering today, and the poppies, some of us are wearing poppies. You can see people wearing poppies on the screen. We're remembering those who gave their lives in two world wars and in other conflicts. They were fighting against evil regimes in order that we might have peace and be able to live in freedom. It's important we remember this because people make great sacrifices. They sacrifice their lives. Some were injured and suffered terribly because of these wars. We need to be reminded of that because we need to be reminded that we need to stand against evil in our world today and not allow it to flourish, because otherwise that sometimes it comes to war. And wars can be a terrible thing, but sometimes they have to be fought against those evils. So we remember those people who gave their lives and sacrificed their lives so that we can have peace and that we can have freedom. Another picture, just to show you something else we're remembering today. Let me just share that with you. Okay, so what does this help us to remember?
God,
yeah. Anything in particular?
Jesus' death.
The Last Supper, well done. So we have a cup and we have some bread. And these reminders are used by the church as Jesus gave them to us to remind us of his death on the cross. And he died on the cross as a sacrifice. He sacrificed his life so that we can have peace with God, and so that we can have freedom from the evil of Satan ruling over our lives. So there are some things in common with these things that we remember today, aren't there? There's the sacrifice that people made, and there's that the dealing with evil in the world. Sadly, today there are wars that still go on. Even though people died and in wars to try and conquer evil regimes, there are still evil regimes that come along and wars that are fought. But Jesus' death on the cross was a victory over evil for all time. We can have freedom today and peace with God when we trust in Jesus. And it's good to remember what Jesus did for us, to remind us of that peace and that freedom that we have with him, but it also points forward to the day that Jesus will come back, when he will return. And then the evil that we see in our world will be finally separated away from God's kingdom forever. And we can enjoy peace and freedom with God with no more evil around us, no more wars, no more famine, no more tears, no more sorrow, because of what Jesus did in his death on the cross, defeating Satan and giving us that peace with God. So we're going to come and remember Jesus' death for us on the cross. And a little later on, we're going to remember those who gave their lives in war, so that we can remember them and thank God for them and for the peace that we can have today. So today we're going to remember, but the question for you is, are you trusting in Jesus so that you have peace with God and can know freedom from evil over your lives and can rejoice in what God has done for you? And remember that. Remember it again and again as we take the bread and the cup of the communion meal. If you just want to mute yourselves again, if you've unmuted yourselves, I'm just going to read from God's word, Paul's letter to the Corinthians about this simple meal of taking the bread and the cup. It says this, Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world." Well, we're going to just have a few moments of quiet as we reflect on those words and examine ourselves, just for signs of faith in our life, but also for those times where we, even in our lives of faith, we still resist God's way and go our own way. And we need to confess those things to God. So we'll do that in the quiet. And in a moment, Phil will bring us a prayer of thanksgiving for the bread and for the cup that we're going to eat together at the same time. So let's just be quiet. And Phil will lead us in prayer. Okay, so if you've got some bread, if there's more than one of you at home, obviously you can share that as we take this bread together. But let's eat together at the same time with thanksgiving for Jesus' body that has been broken for us under God's judgment, so that we are set free from that judgment and no longer under condemnation. Let's eat now with thanksgiving and praise to God. Well, let's also take the cup and drink together at the same time with thanksgiving for Jesus' blood shed for us. We're told that it's the blood of the new covenant, that wonderful covenant of God's grace by which he will put his spirit within our hearts so that he keeps us and never lets us go. And we want to drink together, showing that we are one body, united under this one covenant by one spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's drink together now with thanksgiving. Our Father God, we do just want to thank you for this remembrance of Jesus' death. And we thank you for the reminder that we are one people, even though we are somewhat separated again now and cannot meet together. Father, we just thank you that even in our own homes, your spirit dwells within each one of your people of faith. And so we are united with one another by your Spirit and under the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our God. And Father, we want to just pray for one another in the fellowship at this time. Father, we pray for your safekeeping of each of this fellowship of Kidderminster Evangelical Church through this period of lockdown this month. Lord, we pray that people will be provided for, those who need help in those provisions. We pray that that would be provided. And we pray for those who are continuing to work, especially those who are working in health service, healthcare and elderly care at this time. Father, we thank you for them. We pray that you would keep them safe and you keep them clear of this virus. And Lord, that you would help each person in their work. We think also of those who are teaching, for those who are going into offices as well. Lord, keep each person safe, we pray. Father, we know that there are some within the fellowship who are struggling at this time with different ailments or difficulties. We do pray for Kevin. We pray for Wendy's husband, John, both of whom are suffering from ear infections and needing treatment for that. We do pray that you would ease their discomfort and heal up their sicknesses, we pray. We pray for others who are struggling with difficulties in their lives, awaiting treatment and hospital appointments. Lord, you know who they are in the life of the church. We pray that you would sustain them by your grace in times of discomfort and pain. May they know your presence and your help. And Lord, we continue to pray for Tony and Jean's granddaughter and concerns about the growth of her leg and the difficulties that she experienced there. Lord, may she just know peace and just lift her up to you. We pray that the doctors and the nurses would be wise about what treatment can be given. And Lord, that you would have your way in this situation. We pray for those in the fellowship who are struggling because of mental health problems or because of emotional problems through a time of isolation and lockdown. Lord, minister into their lives, we pray. Lord, help them to lift up their eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ and their hearts to him, to be reading your word and to know your presence. We think of Lil and Harold, unable to join us online. We pray, Lord, that you would minister into their lives as they perhaps receive copies of the recordings of this service. Lord, speak into their hearts, we pray, and bless them. And Father, we pray for the church as we continue thinking about how we can reach out to others with the good news of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom about how we do this, particularly over the Christmas period, through this time of restrictions and difficulties in people's lives. We pray that the gospel continue to go out and you would draw people to yourself. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As it comes to 11 o'clock, we're going to have 2 minutes of silence. You may want to stand in honour and remembering those who gave their lives in death on in battle and other conflicts in war. So we're going to have 2 minutes silence. I'm just going to put up on the screen the picture again of the poppies and the graves, just to remind us of what we're doing. Our Father God, it is hard for us to imagine the horrors of war, having lived through 75 years of peace, generally as a nation. But we just want to thank you for this opportunity of remembrance of those who gave their lives or who were injured in wars and battles and conflicts that have helped us to be able to live in freedom and in peace. We pray that you would help us not to forget what these people have done for us and the lessons of the horror of war, that we would be those who stand against evil in our world. And Father, we pray for those who are still grieving the loss of loved ones who have lost their lives in battle and war, even in these days. We pray too for those who are injured and who are still suffering the impact of conflict upon their lives. Father, we pray for your healing ministry, your comfort to those who are grieving, and your healing ministry to those who are injured and sick because of war. Lord, we pray for those in our armed forces today who are serving you. We pray that you would give them the courage that they need. And Lord, that you would guard the peace of our nation in these days. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to have a song now before we come to God's word. We're going to be singing, "There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One." You can, while Phil sorts out the computer. If you want to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians and chapter 2, I'm going to be reading from chapter 2 and halfway through verse 10 down to the end of chapter 2 in verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And reading from halfway through verse 10. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Are you a spiritual person? Do you consider yourself to be a spiritual person? What does that mean? What does it mean to be spiritual? Over the last century, in spite of the rise of atheism and in spite of the rise of the people claiming that there's nothing beyond the physical realm that you can see and smell and touch and hear, there's also been a rise in people claiming to have some form of spirituality. Their claims are sometimes made on the basis of simply vague feelings of peace when they're out for a walk in the forest. Or maybe feelings of joy, euphoria, when standing on the top of a mountain and seeing a beautiful view, as though they are lifted out of the ordinary realm and into the spiritual realm. For others, claims to be spiritual has to do with their inner experiences as they follow techniques of Eastern meditation to try and empty their minds of worries and of concerns and try and find a sort of a spiritual aura about their own lives. Others use chants of meaningless words over and over again. Others use various forms of dance to try and get into an ecstatic frame of mind or to an altered state of mind. Others use illegal drugs. Some deliberately pursue evil spirits, through the occult, looking for spiritual power and experiences that take them away from their rational minds and their bodies. Following this trend in our society over the last 100 years, that the church, some in the church seem to follow in that same way. They pursued a form of spirituality in their faith that consists mainly of spiritual power experiences, things that bypass their minds and being able to feel sort of other than being constrained to their body. And then they claim these to be the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what they claim, to be a spiritual person. But it seems as though in Corinth, those people who were opposing Paul and wanting to move on from the gospel that Paul lived out and that Paul proclaimed were also seeking the same sort of spirituality as that people in our world today seek. These Christians not only thought that they were mature, and so they wanted to move on from the gospel to chase after the wisdom of the world, but they also thought that they were spiritual. Now, Paul says that in chapter 1 and verse 7 that they weren't lacking in any spiritual gift, but they wanted more than that. They wanted a greater experience of spiritual power, like those found in the mystery religions of their society. They were tempted to follow the spirit of the world. Well, Paul in this letter has much to say later on about spiritual gifts and how the church is to use those properly and not have wrong attitudes about them. But now, at the beginning of his letter, he responds to the wrong attitude of those who are opposing him by indicating the main signs of what it means to be spiritual by the Spirit of God in the lives of Christians. First of all, we see in verses 11 and 12 that we have received the Holy Spirit in order to understand with our minds the deep things of God. We have received the Holy Spirit in order to understand with our minds, not out of mind experiences, but to understand with our minds the deep things of God. Just look at verse 12. Paul says, now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. The Corinthians were pursuing spirituality through following the spirit of the world. But they didn't need to do that. They had the Holy Spirit. They had received the Holy Spirit, as have all Christians in their lives. That's the fulfillment of God's wonderful promise in the Old Testament. When Israel had failed to keep the covenant and had been sent into exile, God had promised a new covenant by which he would put his spirit into the lives of his people. We read about it in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 and 27. God promises, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. See, today people may speak about being spiritual. And in the sense, everyone is a spiritual being in that we all have a soul. We have a spirit. We were created in God's image and we have a soul. But as we see here, our soul is dead. It's like having a heart of stone, spiritually dead to God, to understanding true spiritual realities. All that people are able to do without the Spirit of God is to follow the spirit of this world. And behind the spirit of this world is Satan, the evil spirit. But since the day of Pentecost, that's all changed for God's people. Peter in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, speaking to the Jewish crowds, who he's proclaimed Christ crucified to them. And they are brokenhearted because they put Jesus to death on the cross. And they say, what must we do? And Peter says to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all who the Lord will call. Well, those who are far off that the Lord would call included the Corinthian Christians, those who'd heard the gospel proclaimed by Paul and who God called and brought them into his kingdom. They had received the Holy Spirit. You today, if you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, trusting in Jesus' death on the cross for you, you have received the Spirit of God into your life. And so you are a spiritual person, a truly spiritual person, spiritually alive to God. And Paul tells us what the purpose of God giving us his Spirit is. He says the primary work of the Holy Spirit in being given to God's people when they repent of their sins and put their trust in Jesus is not just to give us power experiences or fuzzy feelings, but to give us an understanding with our minds of what God has freely given us. That's what spirituality is primarily about. It is having an understanding of God, of what God has freely given us. You see, it was the Holy Spirit. He was the one who first opened up our minds to God in the first place, when we heard the preaching of the gospel and God called us by the power of his Holy Spirit, opening our minds, opening our deaf ears, opening our hard hearts to receive the truth of God's word and to believe that truth and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's gift then is to put the Holy Spirit within us, in order that we may go on growing in our knowledge and understanding of all that God has for us. All that God has for us and gives us because of Christ and Christ crucified. You see, by the Holy Spirit, as we hear the message of God's word, which is the message of Christ crucified, the whole of the Bible is all about Jesus and him being crucified on the cross. As we hear that word proclaimed, God, by his Holy Spirit, is making known to us the reality of what we have received. He's making himself known to us because we have now received God. God has given himself to us in Christ, and we know him more by the work of his Holy Spirit. We understand more of our forgiveness, just how deep our sin is and how much Christ's death on the cross has dealt with every problem of our sin. That's the work of the Holy Spirit within us. We understand more about what it means to be justified, to be counted righteous in God's sight. As we hear God's word, we understand that it takes Christ's righteousness to be accounted to us, that righteousness to be accounted to us, that we can have access to God in prayer. We learn more about what it means to be sanctified, the work of the Holy Spirit within us to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And because Christ is now at the right hand of the Father, we have access to God in prayer, that we can be praying for God's grace and mercy, that our lives will be being changed. And we learn more about what it means that we will be glorified, that one day we will be like Christ in resurrection bodies, to be with Christ forever in the presence of God. These things we cannot know by just trying to think about them for ourselves. It is the things that are hidden with God in heaven, the secret things of God. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal these things to us as we hear the message of Christ crucified, as we hear the word of God proclaimed to us. Just think about it. Paul says very clearly, doesn't he? Yeah. How does anyone know what's in your mind? Well, they don't. No one can know what's in your mind unless you make it known to them. The only person who knows what's in your mind is yourself by your own spirit. And unless you breathe out words and communicate what's in your spirit to people, they can't know it. And the same is true with God. We cannot know the mind of God unless God communicates that to us by his spirit. And the Spirit, we're told, searches all things, even the deep things of God. And so the Spirit who is given to us as we hear God's word is able to give us understanding and knowledge of the deep things of God. You see, Christians don't need to move on from the gospel. They don't need to chase after the spirit of this world. We have received the Spirit of God. We are spiritual people as Christians, having the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be tempted to think we need to move on to spiritual experiences by following the spirit of the world. Instead, we need to give ourselves more and more to reading God's word prayerfully, asking for the Spirit to be at work within us, to be revealing God to us and his all that God has given us. We need to be hearing God's word proclaimed, prayerfully praying that the preacher will be speaking the truth of God's word and the Spirit within us will give us that understanding of God's word, so that we may know in our minds the deep things of God. Isn't that amazing? That we can know the deep things of God, because God has given us his spirit. And that's what it means to be spiritual. That's true Christian spirituality, knowing God and the things that he has for us. Now, the next thing we see here, as Christians, we see that we have received the Holy Spirit in order to be able to communicate spiritual truths spiritually to others. We see that in verse 13. We've received the Holy Spirit to be able to communicate spiritual truths spiritually to others. You see, the Corinthians seem to think that being spiritual, even through receiving the Holy Spirit, is all about what's in it for them. It's about their own spiritual experiences, about them having impressive displays of spiritual power to impress other people and to be able to boast about. Maybe you're tempted to think that way about spirituality as well. It's all about your feelings, all about your experiences, all about what's in it for you, what you can tell other people about how God's done this for you in an amazing way, in a spiritual experience that no one else has had. Well, the Apostle Paul was someone who had amazing spiritual experiences. When you think about his conversion on the road to Damascus, that was an amazing spiritual experience. But even after that, Paul had amazing spiritual experiences of God and of heaven. But Paul was very reluctant to ever speak about those things. He didn't boast about those spiritual experiences that he had. He didn't like to draw attention to himself in speaking about those things. They were just between him and the Lord. You see, instead, the main aim that he had was always to be able to communicate the message of the cross to others, not in a worldly way, not in the way of the spirit of this world, but in a spiritual way, in a way that was in keeping with the message he was proclaiming. What Paul writes here in verse 13, in some senses, applies first and foremost to Paul and to the other apostles, who were the spokespeople of Christ, the messengers of Christ, bringing the gospel of Christ first to the world. In John chapter 16 and verse 12, Jesus speaks about this work of the Holy Spirit in the apostles. He says this, "I have much more to say to you," because this was on the night before Jesus died and the apostles were all over the place because they were going to miss Jesus. And he says, "I have much more to speak, to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me, Jesus, by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." So we see that the apostles, and that included Paul, who was sort of called later by Jesus to be his apostle, that what they proclaimed to us is not something that they thought up in their own minds. It's something they were taught by Jesus and then by the Holy Spirit, who reminded them of all that Jesus taught and who brought them into all truth, to understanding the cross and the resurrection of Jesus and all that that meant. And so they were taught by the Holy Spirit directly the message to be proclaimed to the world. And when they proclaimed that message to the world, they were like the Old Testament prophets who were carried along by the Holy Spirit so that they spoke or they wrote the word of God, the very word of God. What's more, the reason that Paul, when he came to Corinth, didn't come with eloquence and superior wisdom, he didn't use the wisdom of this age and the rulers of this age in preaching the gospel to people, because the Spirit was at work within him, the Holy Spirit. He spoke words that were taught by the Spirit, and he explained spiritual realities in Spirit-taught words. And I think that literally means spiritually, in a way that was in keeping with the message that he was proclaiming, not in a way of the world. Now, even though this applies primarily, first of all, to the apostles who had the Spirit of God to teach them the gospel to proclaim and who worked in them to show them the way of proclaiming that gospel, it does also relate to ordinary Christians. That we have received the Holy Spirit in order that we understand the truths of the gospel and what God has for us, that we might speak those truths to others. The Apostle Paul, later on, when he was writing to the church in Ephesus, he said to ordinary Ephesian Christians, he said, "Be being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs." When he was writing to the church in Colossae, he said this, he said, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. It's only by the Holy Spirit dwelling within us that we understand what we're being taught, and Christ's word dwells within us, that we can then speak to others spiritually about spiritual things. And this is real spirituality. This is Christian spirituality. It's the working of the Spirit within us to be able to speak spiritual truths to other people in spiritual ways. Not in ways of the world, not trying to impress them with our eloquence or our wisdom, but speaking the gospel in gospel ways, humbly, and in ways that don't boast about ourselves, but that boast about Christ. Clearly, this relates to our fellowship with one another, being able to encourage each other by speaking the word of God to each other. It also relates to our being able to share the good news of Jesus with others around us so that they might hear and believe the gospel. Is that what we understand by spirituality? That's true Christian spirituality. Being able to speak spiritual truths spiritually to others. This primary purpose of God giving us his Spirit to understand those truths and to be able to communicate those truths to others. So let's prayerfully seek to be people who, in dependence upon the Spirit of God, are ready to speak spiritual truths spiritually to others. Peter, in his first letter, talks about speaking, answering people, and he gives us an understanding of what it means to speak spiritually. He says, do it with all gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. Only the Spirit of God within us enables us to do that work. So we see that spirituality is about having the Holy Spirit to give us understanding of the deep things of God, having the Holy Spirit to be able to communicate the truths spiritually to others. And thirdly and finally, we see here that we have received the Holy Spirit to be discerning people, having the mind of Christ. You see this in verses 14 to 16. We receive the Holy Spirit to be discerning people, having the mind of Christ. You see, the Christian life in the world is full of tough choices and decisions that we have to make. As we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we are faced with challenges and we have to make difficult decisions. But being spiritual is about being equipped by the Holy Spirit to make wise choices, to make good choices, to make choices that are morally right in God's eyes. Now, that's going to be tough. It's tough because often making those right, wise choices brings persecution and suffering. Our old sinful nature doesn't like that. We're so often tempted to try and take the easy way out. We'd rather just be about spirituality, being about our feelings and our experiences, than having to make difficult decisions with our minds in our lives that might bring suffering into our lives. But the reality is that the youngest Christian, the least educated Christian, has the ability to be wise, to be discerning, to make good judgments in life, seeing things as they really are in God's world. You see, the most famous university professor, someone with a Nobel Prize to their name, if they don't have the Spirit of God, because they haven't repented of their sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, is not as wise as you are. Did you realize that? They're not as wise as you are. No matter how young you are, no matter how ill-educated you've been, if you have the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, you are able to make wise decisions in life. You see, those other people, they don't understand about God's judgment that's coming upon the world. They don't understand about not storing up treasures in this life where the moth will come and eat it, or rust will destroy it, or thieves will come and take it away, but instead storing up treasure in heaven. They don't understand those spiritual truths. And so they can't make wise decisions about how to live their lives or how you should live your life. They see those things as utter foolishness. They'll see you as a fool if you live your life Christ's way. But as Christians, we're not to worry about that. We're not to worry about what they think of us or what they say about us and the choices that we make based upon the wisdom that God gives us by his Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit gives us understanding of spiritual realities so that we're able to make wise choices in our lives. And we're not to worry when people judge us and think us foolish. Paul says they've got nothing to teach us because they don't know the mind of the Lord. But we have the mind of Christ because the Spirit, who looks into the deep things of God, and Christ is the Son of God, the Spirit knows the mind of Christ, the Spirit dwells in us. We have the mind of Christ to be able to make those wise decisions in our lives in line with God's word, in line with the message of Christ and him crucified. That's why Paul, as you read Paul's letters in Philippians, in Colossians, one of his prayers continually for the church is for the church, for Christians to be discerning, because he knows they have the mind of Christ and are able to make those wise decisions. This is Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Paul knew that Christians have the Spirit of God, the mind of Christ. So he prayed that they would use the mind of Christ to make good, wise decisions, that they would live holy lives so that they would honor God in the world and be headed for glory. To use your mind to think hard about life, to consider carefully the scriptures, to pray earnestly for God's help and guidance by the Spirit. That's what it means to be a spiritual person. That is what true Christian spirituality is all about. It's the only real spirituality, because it's part of the primary purpose of God giving us his Spirit to dwell within us. If you turn aside from that, if you want to move on from the gospel, wanting to follow the wisdom and the spirit of this world, then you're grieving and quenching the Spirit within you, not allowing the Spirit to do what God has given him to do in your life, so that you live as a spiritual person, being able to understand the deep things of God, being able to speak spiritual truths spiritually to others, being able to make wise decisions, to live a holy life, pleasing and honouring to God. If we've been chasing after the spirit of this world, wanting those extraordinary experiences to just give us that buzz or to be able to boast to others about those things, I'm not saying God won't give you experiences. He's able to do that, and sometimes he does out of his goodness because you need them. But they're not for boasting to others about. We're to be seeking his Spirit to be at work within us, to understand his word, to be able to speak his word to others, to be able to make wise decisions on the basis of his word, so that we live good and holy lives. If we've gone the other way, we need to repent. We need to turn from those things and come back to God's word I'm praying that his spirit was working in us to give us understanding of what God has for us, to give us the ability to speak those truths to others and to be able to make wise decisions, to live good and pleasing lives. Let's be people who understand what true spirituality is and seek to follow it in our lives. Let's come to God in prayer. Our Father God, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you that your word is part of the message of Christ that is found in the whole of the Bible, Christ and Christ crucified. And we thank you for teaching us about the truth of spirituality. Help us by your Holy Spirit this morning to understand these things, that we wouldn't be tempted to follow the empty, false, and even dangerous spirituality of our world today. It is always all about spiritual power and all about spiritual feelings and spiritual experience. Father, you know what power we need. You know what experiences we need. You know what feelings we need. And you give us those things generously. But Lord, they're not the primary part of the spirituality that you want us to have. We pray that you would give us that experience of fellowship with you as we read your word, as we hear your word, that we would understand you better. We would know you better. We would know the wonderful blessings that are ours in Christ. Father, we pray that you would help us to speak spiritual truths to others, whether it's sharing the gospel with others around us, whether it's encouraging each other in sharing verses or psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with one another. We pray that you would help us to build one another up by speaking spiritual truths to one another. Father, we pray that you would help us to be discerning in our lives, in those tough decisions we need to make in our lives, that we wouldn't do that on the basis of the spirit of this world, but we would trust in the Spirit within us, giving us understanding of your word to make those choices. And Lord, even when we're mocked for that by people in the world, help us to know that we don't have to fear their judgment, but that we will be blessed by you as we follow your ways. Father, help us to live lives that are truly spiritual lives, that honour your name and bring glory to Christ. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn that's all about the Spirit of God. Breathe on me the breath of God.
Do
Shall we just share the grace together as we finish? Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Just before you go, just a couple of quick reminders. If you have done a shoebox for the Operation Christmas Child Appeal, then please do let me know. I need to be picking that up today or tomorrow. And then hopefully we'll be able to get this to Catherine and she can get them to Riverside this week. So if you've got anything that you want to give for that, then please do let me know today and we'll sort that out. Also, just a reminder, I sent out an email about on Wednesday evening, we join up with Christchurch for an evening thinking about dementia, the Christian and dementia. A friend of Leo, Karen Worrell from Durham, is going to share some of her experience and what she's learned through looking after parents who've had dementia, different forms of dementia, and she's learned from that. So do come and join us on Wednesday night. I'll send out the link again on Wednesday just to remind you, and that'll be good. We're going to have opportunities for breakout groups. Do please stay. I know when we were down at church, some people were disappearing off, but it's good to, as part of our fellowship together, to be able to talk to each other. Maybe you've got a spiritual song or a verse you want to just share with people that's blessed you this week, or maybe just share about the message you've heard today and encourage one another and build one another up. So please do stay around and unmute yourself and open up your video to be able to do that. Other than that, we'll see you again on Thursday for our prayer meeting.